Hello from Bear and Kura, a podcast from the Land of Oz Information Services. I love you, Kura.
I love you, Bear.
This is episode 117 of the Bear and Kura podcast. We're going to talk about internalized homophobia. And by the way, if you hear thunder, it's because we're recording in the rain and the power is out.
So, yeah, we're sitting here in the dark.
We're sitting here in the dark, yes.
Okay.
Thank goodness we have a field recorder.
Yeah, that's how we're doing this. Magic. So,
to everyone listening to this podcast, you have some traits of internalized homophobia and you don't even know it.
It's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we'll get going on that because it's really interesting. All right, the first statement says, we live in a world where everyone is assumed to be heterosexual. But more than that, we live in a world where heterosexuality is thought to be superior. It leads to something called internalized homophobia.
That's a pretty good definition.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just a definition, it's an explanation as to why it happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's pretty broad, but pretty to the point.
Mm-hmm. Imagine a Jewish person in Nazi Germany. It's very much like that.
That's pretty eye-opening when you say that. Not comparing the two, but
they're not equal, no.
No.
I mean, we don't live in fear for our lives all the time.
No.
But it's a situation where society oppresses us. And it's because of something that we can't control.
Mm-hmm.
Something that nobody would know. I mean, I'm sure lots of Jews in Nazi Germany had to hide that they were Jews.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And try to pass.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot similar for gay people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a very interesting comment. Yeah, can you imagine just trying to hide who you are your whole life? Just to live.
It's a good thing that we benefit from those who came before us.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Growing up in an evangelical household. That's a hard word to say.
Evangelical.
Evangelical. Yes.
It's just really hard to say in that order too.
Imagine you're a little gay boy or lesbian girl, and you have feelings, and everyone, your family, your parents, everyone you know says that those people are evil.
Mm, they're dirty people. They're evil. What they do is disgusting. Yeah. And you hearing that at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. I got a little bit of that because I was raised Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think my parents were really that way. It was more the nuns and the priests.
Bastards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's too bad, though. I mean, anybody should ever have to live like that. But sadly, it goes on all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's sad.
And it leads to people hating themselves.
Mm-hmm. Suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just some terrible things.
Low self-confidence, feelings of inadequacy, self-minimization, anxiety and depression.
Okay.
Those are all things that happen because of internalized homophobia.
Mm-hmm. Have you suffered from any of this?
I think the feelings of inadequacy when I was growing up.
I probably felt every single one of those things.
I probably did too. I feel like when I became an adult, I came to terms with a lot of those things.
Mm-hmm. With who you were and...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think acknowledging that I'm gay and my activism gave me a crowd that was self-affirming.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't have when I was in Catholic school.
That's good. That's very good. Avoiding public displays of affection.
I think we have to do that just for survival, and especially in this area of the country.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's not because I don't want to give you a hug and a kiss in public. You mean, I think I give you a kiss every day when you pick me up from work, but that's in the privacy of our own car. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, holding hands and just, the only time we ever do that is at the Pride events.
Yeah, where you've got thousands of people around you.
Who are just like you, yeah. And it's safety in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So, plus, I hate to say this, but it causes less problems. Because me and you were comfortable enough, and we're walking around, say, Delano, and holding hands, and some idiot spouts off a few faggots. You know me, I'm not going to just let it go subtly. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to. So, I mean, it just, it's almost like a defense mechanism not to dope, because it just, it saves you heartache in the long run, I think. Mm-hmm. Is that pretty bad to say that?
And that's a case of internalized homophobia for self-defense.
Yeah. Yeah. You know,
like hiding it when you have Christian parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Feeling you're not ever good enough.
Yeah. I mean, all of this stuff really goes back to hiding who you are. You're not feeling comfortable, you know what I mean? Of course, it's going to give you low self-esteem, not feeling good enough, but I've felt all of these in my life.
I think you still do.
Oh, I still do. I still do. I still have low self-confidence. I get anxiety quite a bit. I think my depression's better, but I still get depressed pretty easily. Not easily anymore, but...
I guess I feel fortunate that I surrounded myself with defiant people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. It's true. Yeah. Internalized homophobia is what a lot of homophobic hate crimes stem from.
It's sort of a trope now, but I think that's because it's true that a lot of people who are very, very homophobic and commit hate crimes are afraid that they're gay themselves.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times where there's actions against them, gay people, that it is because of that.
It's often younger men.
Aggressive men who are afraid to take an internal look at themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's no.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they are gay, but they're afraid they might be gay.
Exactly. So they attack and they lash out.
Attempts to change your attraction or engage in addictive behaviors that distract from queer thoughts and feelings. Think of how many gay people you know who are alcoholics.
That's very true. A lot of them. A lot of them are heavy, heavy drinkers.
And smokers. And
smokers. Very addictive behaviors. You're right. Yep.
Trying to not think about things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm definitely not one of those people. I'm a very reflective person.
Yeah, I know.
I think about things a lot.
Yeah, too much. You have to shut your brain off at night.
I think that's why I became a Star Trek fan, because, for an hour, I could forget this terrible world we live in and dream of a better one.
Yeah, that could be true. So,
I guess it doesn't have to be drugs. I mean, sports could be...
Oh, yeah, any kind of addictive behavior that takes you
away from
reality.
What you are in.
Mm-hmm. Conversion therapy.
That's a big one here in Kansas.
Big, big one.
It's like an industry.
There's like multiple places.
People send their kids here.
From all around the country, don't they?
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
And you end up seeing them in the bars.
Yeah. I'm wondering what they're... Hey, I got in a free night. Out to suck some dick. Hey, look at that.
The power came back on.
Power came
on. So all the fans are going to come back on, too.
That better?
Yeah. And now we have a kitty that wants to be heard.
Hi, buddy. Yes, you're a good boy. Yes, the power's back on. Thanks for telling me. You see him running here? It's on. It's on. It's working, Dad. You're a good boy. Okay, let's finish the show, Brownie. It's okay. It's okay. Because we are conversion therapy.
Conversion therapy.
Yeah. That's a huge market here in Kansas, and I don't know why.
A lot of states have outlawed it.
Oh, okay.
And of course, ours is going to be one of the last to ever do that.
So stupid. They should outlaw it.
It's a form of psychological torture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because they send these people when they're pretty young, don't they? And then, mm-hmm. Well, there's some adults that do it, too. But it's mostly young people, like preteen, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And just torture them. It's got to leave some lasting mental problems. It has to, you know what I mean?
And it's going to reinforce their internalized homophobia for the rest of their lives.
No matter how hard they commit to loving themselves and living them as yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's just horrible. And then imagine your own family doing that to you. The people that you're supposed to trust and love the most.
Mm-hmm.
Are the ones that are saying, how could you ever trust them again?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I mean, that'd be rough. I mean,
that's why people will sort of divorce themselves from their family.
Yeah, that's true. It's so sad, though.
Men joining a seminary, the armed forces, or law enforcement to cure themselves.
Yeah, that probably happens. Well, I don't think
especially the seminary.
The seminary,
I think God
yeah.
can take this away.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, about went down that rabbit hole.
Well, I remember being picked up by a guy in a bar one night, and he said, let's come back to my place, and my place was a church.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you
he
sin?
He was a Catholic priest.
Did you sin?
Oh, we sinned a lot that night.
I bet you did. That's funny.
And law enforcement, I can see that, too. Or the military trying to go into a structured system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You wanted to go into law enforcement.
Mm-hmm. And then with the time, I was an out, so I would have been in the closet for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just terrible.
Yeah. Do you think that had anything to do with wanting to go into law enforcement?
I think so, maybe. Maybe a little bit.
And the fact that your father was, too,
yeah.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think more so that than that. But yeah, I think so.
Overachievement as a bid for acceptance.
I can see that. See a lot of people look over.
A lot of minorities see this.
Yeah.
You know, they or like women in the workplace, they say, I have to be twice as good to be equal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a shame.
And I can see the gay people having the same thoughts.
Yeah. Seeing them work twice as hard or just kind of be the first ones to get every project done, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I've seen that growing up, too. Women and people you kind of knew weren't completely out, but do you know what I mean? There was speculation that they might be gay.
I have some black people that I work with. One in particular said, you know, I just have to... I have to be always on top of things
because
I feel like if I'm not, I'll let my people down.
Oh, wow. That's a shame. That's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm. Increased fear and withdrawal from friends and relatives.
I think that comes in the beginning before people come out. Or do you think that comes when people are out?
If their family's been particularly cruel to them, I can see... them saying, I've had enough of you.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to see you.
Yeah.
And the other way, there was a bar in town that had a huge, huge dance floor. It was a country and western bar. And every year at Thanksgiving, he had an open Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
People could have sort of a potluck. He would supply turkey and dressing.
Was this Fritz?
No, it was Bo.
Okay.
And every year, it was open to people who weren't welcomed by their families.
Well, that's sweet. That's real sweet. It's kind of like a miniature one that we used to do, me and a few of my friends used to do up at the bar before I met you.
Hmm.
Remember?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I did go to one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because none of us had family in town, really, so we would do our Thanksgiving dinner up at the bar. Because the bar was open, and we'd get there early. And normally, we were all drinking the night before, because the Wednesday before Thanksgiving was always a big night to go out.
Well, yeah, and stay away from your family.
Stay away from your family. And then when you had no family in town, who'd you get? Instead of just nursing a hangover by yourself, you went to the bar. You nipped the dog that nipped you. So, embarrassment about those you attracted to or how it manifests.
Can you think of an example of this? Because I definitely can't.
About who you're attracted to?
Mm-hmm.
No, not really.
You. This is a problem you have.
What do you mean?
You will not go to a locker room because you're afraid you'll see somebody get a hard-on.
You're right. You don't get worried about going to a naked locker room and seeing someone naked?
I've done it so many times.
You just don't get...
Well, our bear group used to have water aerobics once a week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you've never got aroused by being naked in a clubhouse?
Probably. I definitely remember one time one guy did.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was getting a pretty good chub.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because I was staring at him. I don't know.
Yeah. But see, that's
I don't
what
think I was... Yeah, I probably was.
Staring?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. See, yeah, I wouldn't be able to do it. Yeah, because I'd walk.
Even when you were doing rowing, you wouldn't shower with the...
No one ever showered. No one really ever went to the locker and showered. You just wait until you got back to your room and showered. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yep, we never... So, I mean, we never had like a clubhouse to go shower in. It was always at the gym, so... Yeah. But it was always just as much... It was just easier also to get back to your room and shower and then start your day. So you always had plenty of time to do it, so...
Hmm.
But...
You just never thought about that being internalized homophobia?
No, never. But it makes complete sense.
So, I think everybody who listens to this will probably find at least one example for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings of shame and guilt.
Yeah. Well, because you're thinking what you're doing is wrong. That
when I ran the gay information line, I counseled a lot of people, and they would have next morning guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, after you first messed around, did you feel guilty the next morning? Or shame?
No, I don't think I did.
But, really?
Almost universally, everyone believes that their first sexual experience was just awful. Just a horrible experience. That wasn't the case with me.
Okay. Well, you're lucky.
The guy, it was at a Star Trek convention. The guy was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Explained things. Didn't rush.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I rarely had guilt after sex.
Well, even when I was acting straight, I still had shame and guilt. Because it's something, even social norms tell you you shouldn't be doing this unless you're married.
Hmm.
So, you know what I mean? And then it's also, mine was a sham, too. It was like, I'm sleeping with these girls, and I knew that I was attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
So then I feel guilty about that. And then when I did it with men, I felt, I shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. Society tells me this is wrong.
So society has set everyone up for a...
Failure.
Failure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, even the heterosexuals.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they have it as hard as we do, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But mine also was like a badge of conquest, too. Like, look what I did. You know, slump back in the fraternity house. Mm-hmm. Look, I'm a big man. I slept with this chick last night. It was stupid. But then, you know, you're trying to act all tough and big and bad and acting like a man. And then, you know, everyone, unless you're completely... social path, you're worried about the other behalf. You know, are they okay? Or at least I did. I was worried about the girl. And
social disease.
Mm-hmm.
Getting somebody pregnant.
That's
something we've never had to worry about.
Getting STDs.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta worry about that. So, yeah, I mean.
I guess you come down to it. Anything you do in life, you could be... You could be... Heard.
Judged internally?
Yeah, you could be shamed for.
Yeah. No, buddy.
Continual self-monitoring of one's behaviors, mannerisms, beliefs, and ideas.
Yeah.
I know we do that a lot.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean...
You don't want to act too Nelly.
Mm-hmm.
People might make fun of you.
Yeah. I don't think we have very feminine attributes.
Well, we just don't start with, but
yeah.
I don't think I would ever paint my nails.
No, I don't.
But it's not something I would want to do anyway.
Either, yeah. If right now, if I painted them, it would be just to be that guy. Mm-hmm. But I have no need. What's wrong with you? Stop it. It's not about you. No. Take care of your cat.
He's training you well. Every time he meows, you have to pet him.
Hey.
Go.
So you kick him.
Mm-hmm. Worked. Contempt for the more obvious or open members of the LGBT community.
Yeah, it's more internal hate. It turns into external hate.
I see the Bears do this a lot.
Really?
Make fun of the Nelly guys.
Well, that's kind of weird because most of the Bear community start because of the mean Nelly Twinkie guys. Because they were shunned by them.
Not that I know of.
I thought that was the case. And Bears got together. It was more of, okay.
Well, Bears got together because the gay ideal was the tongue fit, thin, mm-hmm. hairless twinks. Mm-hmm. And there were guys who liked the manly men, mm-hmm. and that they decided to get together and organize, and that's Bears. How the Bears started.
Yeah.
But I do see them sometimes making fun of
the Nellier,
yeah,
twinkish guys. You know, it's all crap. It's all garbage, I think. You know what I mean? We're not all going to get along. It doesn't matter if we're all gay. We're all, people just aren't made that way. Not everybody's mm-hmm. going to get along. It doesn't matter if you're all gay, if you're all straight. If you all like the same sports team, you're not going to get along with everybody that's...
And I don't recall a lot of it doing it in front of people. It was obvious. It was usually a...
locker room behavior.
Well, an afterthought thing, you know, telling stories about...
Mm-hmm.
But not really making fun of people right in front of them.
Yeah. But that's what, if you get enough people together, that's what it'll eventually lead to.
Yeah, they groupthink.
Yeah. They, it's a mob mentality.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Marrying someone of the opposite sex, hoping their heterosexual feelings will be replaced.
Happened so many times.
Oh, yeah. I know people who are products of those marriages. So mm-hmm. I probably would have went down that same path if I got into the police force.
Hmm.
Which?
Well, one of my best gay friends, he and I were the only two that really survived the AIDS
mm-hmm.
Pandemic, and then he died a few years ago mm-hmm. of, I want to say a brain hemorrhage, something like that.
Mm.
But
he was in poor health for quite a while, though, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And he was overweight. He probably had a bit of shame.
Mm-hmm.
But we first met because he called the gay information line, and I talked to him. He was still married then.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get together. We didn't become friends because of that. Eventually, I started a Bear Club, and he joined.
Mm.
And he told me that there was one night that he called, and he was glad that I was there.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
And we were friends from then on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you knew him for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a shame.
He was the last of the friends that I have.
Yeah, and he died four or five years ago.
Gosh, doesn't seem like it.
It's been, yeah. I'm sorry.
Mistrust and destructive criticism of queer community leaders.
Yeah, back to the same self-hate.
I do see that, but sometimes it's justified, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, just, you know, you got to be aware of who and what's around you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it becomes bad when it becomes you distrust and hate everybody, though.
Yeah. We try to present a united front, but gay people often don't get along.
Huh.
That movie Bros, where he belongs to the gay community council or whatever, and how they had all the infighting. And that's exactly the way it is.
Really?
Especially gay men and lesbians do not
see eye to eye
very well.
No, not at all. You can see that when you go to the bars.
When you have a group of people who the only thing they have in common, I mean, they're not industry pals, you know, they're not all lawyers or plumbers or whatever. The only thing they have in common is their sexual orientation. You're going to have a lot of that.
Yeah.
The opposite, giving a pass to queer people just because they're queer.
I see that happening.
I do too.
Yeah.
You go, well, you know, he means well.
I give him a pass at work because I feel bad for him more so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if they come in looking for, because I work, you know, to pawn business, people come in and if I notice that they're allies or something like that, I'm generally going to give them more money.
I would have never thought about that.
Yeah, which is not right. I shouldn't do that, but I'm like...
So when you go into a pawn shop, be sure and wear your rainbow bracelet.
Maybe go to mine.
You know who you might be talking to.
Exactly. Go in front of me, you're going to get more money. So... But I think that's when you know if you feel like, okay, that's someone on my team, so I'm going to give them a buy or a pass, or you know what I mean?
Is that really internalized homophobia? I don't know that it is.
I don't know that it is. I mean, it could be construed as it, though. I mean, you know, you want to do it for anybody else.
Yeah.
So.
I do remember... somebody in the Bears group complaining about his lot in life. And somebody else says, don't blame everything on being gay. Sometimes it's just because you're a horrible person.
Yeah, it's true. You know, you can just be a bad freaking person, and that's why it happens to you. It seems to think that the worst decisions you make, people just aren't born with bad luck. It's a lot of the times it's choices you make in your personal life turn into bad things because you're making poor choices.
And some people just never get the wisdom. They just never grow up.
No. And so bad things happen to them. But I mean, if you're walking around on the edge of a cliff, sooner or later you're going to fall off that cliff. So, all right. Contempt for those at earlier stages of the coming out process.
I can see this, but I can't think of any examples.
I can see it, but I can't think of any examples either. What would they be jealous of?
I do remember a couple of times somebody saying, that kid is gay and he doesn't even know it yet.
That's scary. That's a scary time for a kid like that, though. You know what I mean? Why would you have contempt towards him for that? If anything, you should be helping them along.
Yeah, I would think so.
You know, you would want to.
There's, like the guy that I... first had sex with, he said there is a long chain of people. You're expected to mentor those that come after you. And I think that was really good advice.
Did you sleep with a stud or some like soothsayer or something, or was it a one night screw?
Yeah, it's just a guy I met at a convention.
Seems like he was often willing to pass along wisdom.
Yeah.
That's good.
I was extremely lucky.
You were lucky.
Projection of prejudice onto another target group.
So you hate another group?
I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think that I consciously do that, but probably do. I don't.
I think everybody does on a certain level, no matter what.
Like jokes like, at least I'm not a lesbian.
Yeah. Or those black people. Or those Mexicans. Or those Asians. You know what I mean? When you're identifying completely separated from another group. You know what I mean? And you throw those comments around. It could be minute, but it's still...
I guess every time you enforce or reinforce a stereotype, that's what you're doing.
That's what you're doing. So...
reluctance to be around children for fear of being seen as a pedophile.
I can see that happening.
So many times. For you, me, everybody, every gay person I know.
Yep. Yeah. You don't want to pick a kid up. You know what I mean? Or yeah, just, no, don't leave me alone with them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want people to suggest or think anything of it.
So if you're a gay person, you think you have no internalized homophobia, think about that.
Think about that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This whole episode's going to blow people's minds, I think.
Yeah.
Becoming psychologically abused or remaining in an abusive relationship.
Guilty.
Yeah. I'm going through it right now. I'm kidding. yeah, you went through a really rough one with this.
Physically abused. I have daily reminders of it.
Mm-hmm. I think my last relationship was psychologically abusive.
Possibly.
But, so, I put up with it for years.
Mm-hmm.
But it's
just like you put up with me.
Yeah, you don't abuse me, though.
Putting down or avoiding heterosexuals.
Yeah.
I see this.
Yeah. Stop. Sorry. Putting down or avoiding heterosexuals. Oh, yeah. Especially the avoiding heterosexuals.
Mm-hmm. So, I think I'm kind of guilty of that. Other than the people I work with, I don't know any heterosexuals.
You know the people I know.
But I don't socialize with them.
No. And that's by your own choice. I mean, I've tried to get you to socialize with them, and you choose not to do anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
feeling superior to heterosexuals.
I see that happen a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, some heterosexuals sort of look for that. They go, you couldn't possibly be gay because you don't dress well enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest, gays can be mean. We can be mm-hmm. very, very mean. Even to each other. I mean, more mean than I've seen straight people. I mean, very forked tongue.
Being catty is kind of a stereotype that's true.
And it's almost like they wear it like a badge of honor. The bitchier and meaner they can be, the prouder they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm not saying all
and the most people, the most successful drag queens are extremely catty.
Yeah. Well, it's who can get the most coke in their body at one time. So, sorry. All right. So, thinking about or attempting suicide.
Seen a lot of that myself.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen a lot of it, but I've heard about it. So, do you know people who have committed suicide because of it?
No, but I've talked to a lot of people who were considering it.
I think one of my friends did commit suicide because of it. I don't think I ever told you about him jumping out of the Eaton Hotel.
Mm-mm.
He had a really bad coke problem, but I think he had a crush on me and Eric pretty bad. But he, finding out through friends of friends and through things, other things that he was ex-military, didn't know how to deal with it.
And possibly suffered from addiction to distract from
Oh, yeah. And I mean, he was, both his parents, his stepmom and stepdad were both in law enforcement. At his funeral, pretty much his old friends were chastised for being the way we were. We were the reason he died, all that stuff. But yeah, he decided to jump out of the fourth floor of the Eaton, took a header. Because if he jumped normally, he would have lived. He would have just broke his legs. But he decided to go head first. And he was with another friend of mine, and they were messing around with two young ladies. And him and Joe and the two young ladies went into another room, and there were floor-to-ceiling windows. And he was left out there by himself in the living room. And next thing you know, one of the girls went out looking for him, and he was. They said he either fell or he jumped, but I think he jumped. Mm. So. But yeah, because when Joe finally got to him, he was still breathing, but his head was open like a walnut. So, but yeah, that was an interesting funeral because his mom and stepdad pretty much did the whole Catholic funeral, you know, but we were all sinners and try to get us to come to the clergy or whatever, find God, and, you know, but it basically came across as basically a tongue lashing. So, but
the Jews may have invented guilt, but the Catholics perfected
it. Oh, yeah, exactly. A general sense of personal worth and also a positive view of your sexual orientation is critical for your mental health.
So true.
Yeah.
if you feel bad about yourself, get help.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health is just like physical health.
Yep.
You know, if you had a boo-boo on your knee, you'd go to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a boo-boo in your head, you should go to the doctor.
Exactly. Yep, and don't think anything less of yourself. Just go and do it. Because you're important.
Just being aware of internalized homophobia is a good thing.
I think it's a very good thing. Just something not to worry about and stress about, but to keep in the back of your mind.
And, like I said, I'm sure lots of people have discovered a little bit of internalized homophobia just by listening to this.
Probably.
They never even thought of before.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for this week?
Yes.
Okay, so I guess it's your favorite time of the week. What's your joke for the week?
My joke for the week. How does Lady Gaga like her sushi?
Rah, 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 rah.
Yep,
rah,
you got
rah,
it.
Rah, rah, rah. Okay. I'm proud of myself. I got another one.
That joke makes me so happy.
That joke makes you so happy?
Me so happy.
Me so happy? Okay. Get out of here. You're a dork. All right.
We hope you liked episode 117 of the Bear and Kura podcast. This is Bear.
This is Kura.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
You have been listening to the Bear and Kura podcast, a production of the Land of Oz Information Services. We can be contacted via email using the address podcast@oz.com. And Oz is spelled AWES.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network.
Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.